From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. The Pope's declining health and the story of Terry Schiavo, who passed away yesterday, have focused attention on medical care at the end of life, especially for patients who have little or no chance for recovery. The issue can be even more complicated when the patient is also a prison inmate. As NPR's Mandalit Del Barco reports, California is trying to decide who has the final word when a prisoner is unable to make choices.
Even before the public debate over Terry Schiavo, California began grappling with questions about who's responsible for prison inmates who are comatose or in a vegetative state. State Senator Gloria Romero says it's still not clear who decides their fate.
At what point does an inmate become the patient? At what point does the family have a say-so in terms of making determinations about the outcome of that inmate's life? Who has the right to pull the plug?
California's Department of Corrections is obliged to care for prisoners until their sentences end. But when inmates are sent to private hospitals, medical decisions are often unclear, says Romero.
We don't know who's in charge. We don't know if the prison's communicating to the hospital, if the hospital's communicating to the family's communicating with the Department of Corrections. All we know is that we have found ourselves in the midst of a tragedy that we cannot ignore.
She refers to Daniel Provincio, a 28-year-old inmate who was injured after a guard reportedly shot him in the head with a non-lethal foam bullet during a prison disturbance. For nearly a month, Provincio was treated at a private hospital where family members felt shut out.
We had no say-so from any decisions that were made for Daniel.
Nancy Mendoza is Daniel Provincio's mother.
They had told me as long as I chose to keep Danny on life support, Danny was going to finish off his sentence. I don't understand how a dead man finishes off a sentence.
Mendoza says her son was in a coma, shackled at the ankles. Prison guards watched him around the clock. Finally, Provincio was released to his family. But by then, Mendoza says, doctors discouraged continuing his life support.
Every time we asked them to do something for my son, we were told, well, he's dead. What's the use? What's the use? To make sure that if he had just one little window of opportunity to survive, we wanted to give him that. That's my son.
Cases such as Provincio's have prompted California to review its policies on how to deal with comatose inmates. George Castroico, a state corrections department spokesman, says authority now rests with the attending physicians.
That doctor is the final decision maker based on the condition of the patient and the patient's wishes. In some cases, we'll have a member of the family that has been given the ability to make medical decisions for that patient.
But even that's not so clear-cut.
Oftentimes people have no family, or that what family members they had when they began their incarceration have died.
California's three strikes law means that many inmates are staying in prison longer and growing older, says USC law professor Mike Brennan.
Many of these inmates don't have families, don't have adult children that would be able to assume that responsibility. Oftentimes people just lose touch completely with whatever family they may have over the years.
So it's left to the state to continue caring for inmates throughout their sentences, often at great cost. For instance, California is now spending $35,000 a month to guard just one comatose inmate, a 44-year-old convicted child molester who was beaten by his cellmate. So far, his medical bills total nearly $600,000. State Senator Gloria Romero says the costs will only grow.
To spend over $1 million to guard and provide treatment to an inmate who, for the most part, is severely brain damaged, that's just something that is mind-boggling.
Romero has called for hearings later this month on how California cares for comatose inmates. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News, Los Angeles.